All good to go, Lynn.
All right. Item number one, do I have a motion to modify or adopt the agenda? And we have several people that are here for item number seven.
Can we move that up? I'll make a motion to move item number seven up then.
Excellent. So I'm hearing you will move item number seven up to item number four?
Yes.
And then just bump them all down. Okay, do we have a second?
Yeah, I'll second.
Okay, wonderful. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, approval of minutes from July 15th.
Make a motion to approve.
And that was Kurt. Do we have a second?
Jim second.
Jim seconds? All right. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, public appearances. So we had written comments into Debbie, and my understanding is we had none as of 4 p.m. today. Is that correct?
That'd be correct.
Okay, but we have several people here for item number seven that we're moving up to item number four. So we'll start with discussion and action sidewalk clearing policy.
Okay. But if you don't mind, if you could scroll down and zoom out a little bit. But I'll go ahead and get started. At the last Public Works Committee meeting, we spent a lot of time reviewing the current sidewalk clearing policy. We reviewed the current policy, which was adopted, revised in 2017, and we had quickly gone over the village code. Unfortunately, the policy does not match the code. I want to quickly recap, summarize the current policy, and at last month's Public Works Committee meeting, we had mentioned that fall of last year there was a continuous improvement project that looked at sidewalk clearing, and the committee had looked at the current policy and reviewed the code, and there was discussion on whether or not it should be revised. Committee members had reached out to other communities to determine their current policy, and I'd like to quickly say that most communities put the responsibility on the adjacent property owner. We're one of the exceptions, but at the end of the continuous improvement program, the committee members made a recommendation, and I'll cover that as well. But the current sidewalk clearing policy is such: less than 3 inches, village clears village-owned properties, roundabouts, and safe route to school routes. Greater than three, village clears all contiguous public sidewalk. Riverside Drive, Webster Avenue, Alloway Avenue, Lyle Street, Green, Broadview, Longview, Hoffman Road. I believe that's all of them.
So not all sidewalks in the village, but all sidewalks in this group that we're talking about.
Right. We do have sidewalk that's not connected, and no, we don't maintain those or clear those in the winter. That's a summary of our current policy. The CI committee had recommended that we make a revision to the policy that we would clear problem area sidewalk at 3 inches or greater, and there was some discussion about problem area sidewalk. And that would be primarily Riverside Drive, Webster Avenue, and Alloway Avenue. And for the following reasons: one, sidewalk is located adjacent to back of curb. There isn't a terrace or the storage of snow like we have on other streets. the county frequently plows the roadways. They come in almost on a daily basis in the winter to plow, and they do that for emergency purposes based on the designation of the county highways. The other reason why we consider them primary walk is for Riverside Drive and Webster Avenue. Those are four lane roadways, highways. They plow two lanes to the outside. I know on Webster Avenue there isn't a center island or a median. They don't plow anything in the center island or the median. They plow everything to the outside. So that makes it a challenge as well. What the committee had recommended beyond the primary walk was everything else would be maintained, cleared by the village, 6 inches or greater. So if we got a snowstorm of 3 inches, it would be the budding property owner's responsibility to clear that walk. We talked about the cost to clear the sidewalk. And up until this year, we didn't track the clearing of sidewalks separately. It was all lumped under snow and ice removal of our roadways. Starting this year, we have separately tracked the expense to clear sidewalk. As of today, we spent just short of $21,000. Based on the numbers that we had tracked fall of last year, end of last year, we anticipate spending, roughly speaking, about $25,000 this year in the clearing side under the current policy. We've also looked at what would it cost if we were to take over the full maintenance responsibilities of Riverside Drive, Webster, and Alloway Avenue. Currently, we don't go out and clear those until we get 3 inches or greater. If we were to go out 3 inches or less, it would cost approximately about $7,000 a year. So we're looking at if it costs $25,000 to $30,000, depending on the type of year that we have, it could be another $7,000 on top of the $25,000 to $30,000. So you're looking at somewhere around $35,000 a year to clear sidewalk. The other thing I want to mention is our comprehensive bike sidewalk and bike comprehensive plan does show more walk. It does recommend that we construct more sidewalk in the village. We do have a project that we're currently working on right now, the Doty Safe Route to School project, to be built in 2022. That project will add another mile of sidewalk. So the cost right now to clear sidewalk is $25,000 to $30,000, but in the future it will be more as we continue to build more sidewalk. So we talked for some time last month, and we're looking for some direction from this committee, and ultimately to take the village board to make a determination of whether or not we need to make any changes to current policy.
So, Sean, I hear you say currently we're clearing anything greater than 3 inches on major thoroughfares.
Yes.
Okay. And we're able to handle that in our current budget?
Yeah. Yes. We're just started that process. As we work through the budget, we'll have a better sense of where we're at. I would say yes, because we haven't changed anything from 19 other than how we're tracking it. We're now tracking the clearing of the sidewalks separately from the streets. 19 it was one budget item, and we haven't yet made any changes to the current policy. So yes, I would think that we can afford it. Would you agree, Brad?
For the most part, yes. One of the things that we do have is the need to replace one of our pieces of equipment. Depending on what piece of equipment it ends up being replaced with, you could be looking at, you buy used, maybe you can get one for around that $40,000. You're buying new, you could be upwards of $120,000. But again, that piece of equipment's 10 to 20 years that you run it for.
Yeah,
if you do the depreciation, it's not as bad over that 10 to 20 years.
And that's coming out of the equipment replacement fund?
Correct.
Correct. Yeah. We do have money budgeted in there for that piece of equipment. It is in the plan. It's actually in the plan to be purchased this year. And we were hopeful to tackle this item first. And based on the outcome of this, make a decision on how we're going to proceed in the future with the purchase of a new small utility piece of equipment.
All right, so we do have two people here for this item. Do I have permission to open it up, or do I have a motion to open this item up for discussion?
I'll make that motion.
Okay, do we have a second? Okay, I'll second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, Tom and David, do either of you have any comments regarding this item at this point?
Yeah, this is Tom. I'm going to go first a little bit, if I could. First, I appreciate that background information. That was very informative. I guess I'm taking this more from the personal homeowner's viewpoint in my own situation rather than from the village, and maybe that's not fair. When we first agreed to give up some land to build the sidewalks, we were told that we would not have to take care of it. I'm also 76, and although I think I still can take care of it, if I can't, then I'll just pay the city to it. But let's forget all about that and surrender all that, because I don't think that handles what I think is the major problem. The major problem, I think, is the village forcing a villager to shovel snow on the state highway. And I take it over that part of it. Forgetting about what you promised, and I understand that, and I'll go out and do it until I fall over. But I'm 76, and if I do fall over in the street, that's my family. May I have a good lawsuit? What does our legal counsel say about making citizens shovel on that kind of a highway?
Where do you live?
On Broad Lane, right on the corner of Riverside.
Tom, we appreciate your comments, and I have to agree. Anybody on Riverside, Webster, the amount of snow the county puts back in there is kind of ridiculous.
Anything
else you want to add to that, or we'll move on to David?
Go ahead. I still don't know what the legal authority has to say about making us do that.
about that one?
The state, and I don't want to try to pretend that I know the state statutes by heart, because I don't, but I believe the way the state statute is, it is the homeowner's responsibility, and it's up to the municipality and how they would like to handle that. Because there is a snow removal, and I believe that falls in the state as well, as like 72 hours the snow has to be removed. And after, was it 2 weeks? If it sat there for 2 weeks and the village did nothing about trying to enforce the snow removal, boy, I might get myself in trouble here. Let me go back and look at that, because I don't want to misquote something and give some thought.
I guess I could just see myself lying on the street on the Riverside Drive, and some snow shovel coming and picking me up and getting me out of the way. I just think there's a lawsuit there, and I guess I'm not so much concerned about me, because, whatever. But I'm thinking about the future. I think it's a problem we need to think about in the future. I don't know. Maybe I'm way off base. Thank you for listening to me.
And Tom, I'll do some research on this. Whether or not the committee is willing to or prepared to make any motion tonight, it's still probably unclear. So there's probably going to be a follow-up discussion on this where I can get that information.
Thank you.
Is the width of the snow storage area the problem? Or just the clearing of the sidewalks in general?
Are we talking about the problem area?
Are we talking about Riverside and Briar? So it looks narrow, but there's something there. I don't know what that storage area is.
No more than 18 inches to 2 feet on Riverside Drive. No, not enough space to adequately store the snow from Riverside Drive. Keep in mind that...
Diesel comes into my driveway.
They're plowing two lanes outward, the four-lane roadway. We do have an agreement with Brown County. In general, the county's responsible for the pavement between back of curb and back of curb, or face of curb and face of curb, and it's the village's responsibility outside of the curb and gutter. We're required to clear the walk and maintain it, maintain the physical condition as well.
Okay, David, do you have any comments?
Oh, I got a lot of comments. can you hear me?
We can.
Can you
say your address, please?
I live at 590 West Briar Lane. I'm on the corner of Riverside Drive in Briar. And let me just start out and saying, from my perspective, you've missed the entire key point here, and that is the Hawk Crossing. From 2009 until 2018, there was not a Hawk crossing there, so pedestrian traffic seeking to cross Riverside Drive would come to the intersection and cross Riverside Drive at Briar. Now that the Hawk crossing is there, a very safe procedure, pedestrians are going on the sidewalk, walking to the Hawk crossing, pushing the button, and crossing. And when the sidewalk hasn't been cleared sufficiently, they are complaining to the village. And the village says, whoa, that belongs to the adjacent property owner. We'll go clear it, and we'll cite them and give them a letter, which they did. So that's what really raises the thing here. I want to bring up a couple of points that I've heard in this discussion. I heard that the village requires the adjacent property owner to clean the sidewalks sufficiently. I also heard that the village cleans their own property. Well, it's interesting to note that the location of the Hawk property, which the state required the village to purchase because they won't put a hot crossing on private property, that property belongs to the village. So I'll just throw this quick question out before I continue. Does the village acknowledge that they're the adjacent property owner to the hot crossing?
That's a good question, Dave. Thank you.
Well, I called my lawyer, and he said, you know, David, we have property next to our building, and it's owned by Green Bay, and they clean it. We don't clean it. So that goes along with what was said earlier, that the village cleans the property that they own, they're adjacent to. So going back to that, the other question I have regarding 3 inches of snow, I understand what 3 inches of snow are, but I don't understand that include the amount of what I'll call hazardous waste that the county throws onto the sidewalk, which isn't really snow. It becomes, what, snow, ice, water, chemicals, etc., which basically freeze and become rock solid. And I've heard that when you come through with the equipment, it's even harder for the equipment to remove that because it's so frozen on there. So not only would we have to do more than just snow removal equipment, now we're out there with an ice pick and a hammer, and I don't know what, or amount of chemical. Then you have all these people that want to come walking down there, and it hasn't been really cleared. Does that make sense?
Yeah, David, it's not what's plowed onto the sidewalk. It's not the depth of the snow plowed onto the sidewalk. It's a reading that we get from National Weather Service in Green Bay.
I understand that and accept that, but if I had a sidewalk that was 5 feet back from the road, I'd understand the 3-inch requirement. But when the village comes along, or when the county comes along and throws in a sufficient amount of snow onto the sidewalk, sufficient amount to blow down 25 to 30 feet of fence, which is basically with brick pillars, that's sort of excessive. And that happens, but in a regular 3-inch snowstorm, that snow that's going to be there is not going to be snow. It's going to be snow and ice.
You're right. We struggle with the clearing of snow on Webster, Riverside, and Alabama. And this picture depicts it pretty well.
Picture of the hot crossing then?
I don't, but this shows a picture of a sidewalk along Webster Avenue. Shortly after the counties come through, they plowed the two lanes to the outside. The sidewalk is located along the back of the curb. It's buried, buried. You don't even see it. We have to come through first with a piece of equipment with a blower on it. And because of the consistency of the snow, slush, ice, you name it, we have to make multiple passes. We get the bulk share of it. Blow it onto the adjacent property owner's property because we can't blow it into the street because the county will push it back to the sidewalk. But Brad, you want to scroll down or up? I can't remember. If you could zoom out just a little bit, this is after the first pass. It's a challenge to get down to the surface, and we can't leave it in that condition because we don't find that acceptable. It needs to be cleared off of the sidewalk. So we come back second time, typically right behind the snowblower with the blade, and blade it down to the surface. And if there's storage to the outside, we'll just blade it off to the outside. But in some cases, because of the snowfall depth, we have to scrape it into the roadway, and then we have to come back and blow it over to the sidewalk. Nobody's disagreeing. It's, you know, the maintenance, the clearing of the sidewalk along Riverside, Webster, and even Alloway Avenue, where we have sidewalk along the back of the curb, and it's actually for the entire length from Riverside Drive to the bridge. It's a challenge. And the Continuous Improvement Committee even brought that up, and they've labeled it problem area sidewalk. How do we handle this?
Well, this is sort of a throwback, but the village cited several of us for not clearing the sidewalk, even on the west side of the street where it's habitually clear. But when I went out and looked at the sidewalk, the 4 feet between the crossing where it's actually graded where people have a slope to go down, it has, let's say, 12-inch high pyramid of ice, rock solid cross there. So the village said, we came and cleared it, but it still got the ice there because the county came back after they cleared it.
You're right.
And it's just, I don't know when, it's just something we're supposed to watch habitually, but I also go back to the adjacent property owner, which is not me. And that you need to resolve that issue, because I really am pretty firm, and it goes right with the statement you made earlier. We clear property in which we own.
For those that aren't aware, and David done a good job explaining, when the Hawk Crossing went in, Dave, was the sidewalk wasn't there at the time, right? Or was it?
The sidewalk was installed in 2009, and the Hawk Crossing was installed in, I think, 2018. And in the process of doing that, the state required you to purchase like 8 feet in from my property line by 25 feet in order to put the pole in and all the control equipment.
So there's a segment of sidewalk along Riverside Drive at the Hawk Crossing where we purchased property. I don't believe it's continuous, but in some locations, that install the Hawk traffic signals. So there'd be segments of sidewalk that we'd be responsible. The village would be responsible for, because we own a sliver of land on the outside of the walk.
Well, but a very significant sliver.
What?
A very significant sliver.
Yep.
And
are you saying it's significant because it's where the Hawk Crossing is?
Absolutely. Because it drips down to the roadway, and that's where most of the snow comes in. And the county just throws snow back over there. And anybody who has walked Riverside, Webster, Alloway, where we have no terrace, that is a public thoroughfare. And I'm going to go out on a limb here, but expecting an individual homeowner to take care of a public thoroughfare that we have facilitated bringing in, to me, seems not fair at all. So continuing the policy of, if it's more than 3 inches, we take care of it as a village on those major problem streets, seems fair, because that is public infrastructure for public use.
So, say, Lynn, if I may.
Yeah.
Kind of going back to both Tom and David, 3 inches of snowfall equates to about darn near 12 inches on the sidewalk.
Yeah, I'd like to see us take care of it completely.
Right, so it's
not be the homeowner issue.
No, I just want to make sure that, you know, it's 3 inches doesn't seem like a lot, and it's typically not, but when you have two lanes of roadway, it certainly adds up.
Right, and that's why I'd like to see the village take care of that, because I look right off of Webster, and all of those areas where we have no terrace is a huge problem, and it's a public problem.
Lynn, are you indicating that at any snowfall accumulation, 1 inch, we'd go out and clear it?
Well, that would be Lynn's perfect world, but that's probably not going to happen. If the current policy is 3 inches.
What are the other things we talked about last month? Every community has sidewalk like this, and they all have their primary sidewalk. And appear just south of us along Webster Avenue, the residents along Webster Avenue petitioned the city of DePere. I don't know what the petition it said, but ultimately DePere is now clearing that walk.
Good.
And I know
I want to throw something back in there, because when you say that some of these sidewalks are normal, it's my understanding that the closest Hawk Crossing to Green Bay, this one on Alloway, on Riverside Drive, is in, I think, Appleton. So it really is a pedestrian magnet. And my concern is I want to keep the pedestrians safe, and they have been safe because they haven't required the sidewalk until we put the Hawk in, and they really want to use it.
We see a lot of pedestrian. I think that's a good point. We see a lot of pedestrian usage on Webster Avenue, and that's because Webster Avenue is a Green Bay Metro bus route, and
right.
We want to keep that clear and safe as well.
One of the things that draws additional hardship is we go out. Number one, we don't have the person power to go out with shovels. So we have to rely on our equipment to do the best it can. And as the picture is indicating, you know, that's before, or that's right after the snowblower, and now we come back with the plow. It still is leaving residue behind, and we do need the residents to help. Regardless, I think there's still the need for the resident to participate in one way or another.
Can you hear anything that you've said for about 15 seconds?
Somebody shuffling paper, please.
Okay. What we have, and I know Tom and David, you can't see this photo, but it's a photo of a sidewalk on Webster Avenue after the snowblower has gone through. And prior to the plow coming through, once that plow goes through, we still leave behind some residue. We do not have the person power to be out there physically shoveling all these areas, so we do need some participation to the best we can from our residents. And that's even after a 6-inch snowfall, it doesn't matter when we're out doing all the sidewalks. The resident still needs to come out and help to maintain that to the best of their ability. I just want to let you know, I mean, we just do not have the personnel to be out.
And that's a good point. You know, we if we were to make a change to the policy, and the change being that the primary sidewalk would be the village's village's responsibility to go and clear for snowstorm less than 3 inches, it would be just one pass, and then after that, we would expect that the property owner would assist with keeping that sidewalk clear of ice and snow after that.
Correct.
Because, to keep somebody out there 24 hours, or
right,
5 days a week, we need help from the residents and commercial property owners along these streets.
This is Tom. I agree with that 100%. David, the problem is not just that crosswalk, it's the whole street.
And building on that, it really hasn't been a problem for the last 17 years. It's the village has gone through, cleared it, and the pedestrians, that there's no, I don't think there's been any complaint.
We've had back to back years of record precipitation, and that includes snow too. We've had some mild winters too, and we don't go very often. But in 18 and in 19, 20, we've received a fair amount of snow. Today, like I said, we spent short of $21,000. We anticipate to spend close to $25,000 at the end of this year. We didn't come up with a cost to maintain Riverside, Webster, and Alloway Avenue 3 inches or less, and that's around $6,000 to $7,000. So if an average year without adding this additional work, you're looking at $25,000, you add this additional effort, you're looking at $30,000, $31,000. And as we continue to build more sidewalk, we're going to have more expense. But and we've just started to separately track sidewalk expenditures. And in the past, it was all under one budget item. ice and snow removal.
I'm glad we're splitting it out.
So let me ask a general question, because I noticed that I have a storm drain right in front of my house on Briar, and it typically gets cleared so that the drainage will get be done. I don't know that it's done by hand, but it looks like it's a little square that gets cut out so the drain is totally free. I'm going like, if people are putting an effort into storm drain, and I'm going back to the hot crossing that the state keeps putting stuff on, they ought to take that as a storm drain, because they're already there. I'm sorry, but I just can't lose the focus on getting that thing clear for people.
I believe it is a storm. It is a storm, and that's part of the reason why they almost come through on a daily basis. They're clearing the slush and the ice out of the gutter pan of the curb and gutter to keep those to keep the gutter open for drainage purposes. They put enough salt on the roadway that they do a good job of that.
Okay.
The thing is, then they're throwing it up on the sidewalk.
Yep.
And the sidewalk is a public infrastructure item. And so our current policy is we take care of branches.
Lenny, you were breaking up. There's some interference.
Okay, so current policy is if it's over 3 inches, we come through, and we have assistance from the homeowners.
Correct. Less than 3 inches, we go and plow village-owned property, roundabouts, and safe route to school sidewalk routes.
Part of the problem, Lynn, is the what our ordinance reads, chapter 350, and what the policy and what the policy has been, they're different. Because and that's one of the problems that needs to be the same. It needs to be spelled out. And I think both Tom and Dave brought up some, or David brought up some good points that let us look into it and bring this back for additional discussion.
Do we have time for additional discussion and then getting a policy out to the homeowners along those routes before winter?
We're quickly running out of time.
Don't say that.
Yeah.
It's going to be nice for another 6 months.
Oh my gosh, I love you for saying that.
I think Lenny, if there were any changes that would occur, they would not happen until probably be looking at the following winter, because you want to educate during this winter. So we'd be, you know, doing, if the policy is that we're going to take care of these problem areas, such as Riverside Drive, Webster and Hoff and Alloway Avenue, 3 inch, basically you get a dusting, you're out there doing some work on those, but really making the final change effective for the snow season of 21-22. Because you're going to want to put that education out.
I agree completely with that. I would like to see the committee make a decision, and that we would stick by this decision, and we don't have to change anything. We can, at a minimum, we're going to be revising the code to match the policy, and it was the policy was last edited in 2017. I would like to make a decision and not delay it any longer if we're going to make one, because there will be public informational meeting in the near future for the Safe Road to School project, and I want to be able to tell them with some certainty what the policy is, and I would hope that it wouldn't change in the near future. That, not that we couldn't revisit it in 5 years, but to continue to revisit this every other year, it's a lot of work, and I would. You know, would like to make one. I agree that it's going to take some time to educate people, but make one and stick with it for less than three years, hopefully five, and revisit things again 5 years from now, if need be, for budgetary reasons.
Sean, do you agree that we should get rid of the policy and write what we want to into the ordinance, as recommended by the continuous improvement group?
I don't, you know, I my opinion on this may change as we get through the budget process. You know, we haven't had any problems in the past under the current policy with meeting the budget, but budgets are getting very tight. I'm here to get direction from you guys.
Do you think, you know, maybe in the next month or two, you could, you and staff could come up with some different criteria, like maybe having to do with the width of the snow storage area, or, you know, not any snowfall, but I don't know if we can determine, like, you know, if it's an inch and a half, then it gets thrown in the sidewalk, or, you know, if we can, you know, not necessarily 3 inches and above, but some other criteria that would address the problem.
Well, I'd like to try to keep it as simple as possible. If it were up to me, here's what I would suggest. I would, based on what I've heard and over the last couple years, we know that Riverside, Webster, and Alloway are a challenge. If we're going to make a change to the current policy, I would. Awfully suggest that we just take over the maintenance of it, the clearing of it. We do spend a lot of time trying to enforce the maintenance of the sidewalk in these areas because it's a challenge. If I were to make another change to simplify things, I would consider Safe Route to School sidewalk no different than the other walk, and we would. Maybe move that from 0 to 3, and then you have really three types of sidewalk. You have village-owned sidewalk, you have problem area sidewalk, and you have all other walk. You know, keep it simple for our guys. On a map, a problem area walk could be a certain color. Village-owned properties would be another, and everything else would be a color.
Lynn, if I may.
Oh, yeah, I have to agree with keeping it simple.
Keeping it simple, and the fact of the piece of equipment comes out of the village hall, does in front of the village hall, goes into the roadway, drives down the roadway to Alloway Avenue, so it's skipping everything on Libel Street because it doesn't meet it's between 3 inches and 6 inches. Then it hops up on Alloway Avenue, does Alloway Avenue, comes back down to Libel Street, drives down the road on Libel Street past all the sidewalks that are still there, to his village property, hops up on the sidewalk, does a little bit, jumps back off, doesn't do it in front of the schools because the schools do it themselves. It just, when you're driving past, when you have to drive past the sidewalk, it just makes sense that, you know, if we had a simple policy or ordinance, you're doing them because we're jumping all over the place. And then the perception of the general public looking at it and saying, what are you doing?
Yes, no, I get it. Why are we in the road? Why aren't we doing the sidewalk? That makes no sense to me.
but we have to keep in mind it is expensive.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but they're running the piece of equipment down the road. That makes no sense to me.
Well, it's
on the sidewalk. Because they're still moving snow. It's still costing us the same in...
No, it'd be different because when you're on the sidewalk, you're going a lot slower and it takes a lot longer.
Well...
But my point is that the perception from the public as you see this piece of equipment going in and out of areas, leaving unplowed, it just leaves that perception of why? What a waste? So, but again, I go back to if we're going to do them all, we have to be prepared. We are going to spend a lot of money. We're not going to hit them typically within that 48 hours after a snowfall because you're not going to be wanting to bring people in for overtime to be doing the sidewalks over and over again. The county continuously plows because of their dry pavement, or whatever they call it, wet pavement policy for county roads. They follow the same as the state. So your cost is going to skyrocket, is what I'm saying. It's not an easy decision. I agree with Tom, and I agree with David. Riverside Drive is terrible. I lived on Webster Avenue and had to take care of my sidewalk. I used to do it all the time. I hated it. Because as soon as I was done, here comes a snowplow again. It's not
well,
like
exactly.
your it's
now
not
got
your typical street.
Out combating county snowplows on Webster, trying to keep. So I just
think we need to bear in mind it's going to be extremely expensive. So we have to come up with something that balances. We are agreeing that we have problem areas. And the problem areas are not the fault of a resident.
Not at all.
So we need to figure out how we're going to address those and look at the other sidewalks and saying, should we or should we not?
But I think it's really, if you stick to problem area walk, you stick to village-owned properties, and then everything else is sidewalk, just labeled sidewalk, we'll quickly go through a scenario. Let's just say the two changes that I talk about are implemented, and say for all the school sidewalk is treated no different than all of the other walk. It's cleared at 3 inches. We go out, we get something less than 3 inches, we would go out and hit village-owned properties, and we've got, let's just say, how many do we have? Maybe a half dozen, we'd go up with sidewalk, we'd run out and clear those. And yes, we would drive by sidewalk. We would hit those, and if a change were made, that we'd go out and clear Webster, Riverside, and Alloway, regardless of snowfall depth, boom, we'd shoot up, probably hit south or to north, we would go over to the Hawk, clear that, go up and down Webster Avenue one time, and then hit Alloway Avenue east-west, and then we're back into the building. 3 inches or greater, if we don't change that threshold, we're out doing all the walk. But we could move that to 6 inches.
That's a lot when you're talking Webster and Riverside.
I'm not suggesting not for anything other than the primary walk. And we've identified Webster, Alloway Avenue, and Riverside Drive to be problem area sidewalk. And that would be treated differently than all of the other sidewalks.
You do sidewalks at under an inch?
If there are
village owned properties, roundabouts, and safe route to schools. And right now we have one safe route to school route, and that would be adjacent to Webster Elementary School. That would be Woodrow, Brookridge, a short segment along Libel, and the south side of St. Joseph Street from Libel Street to Webster.
So under 1 inch, even a half inch, quarter inch, you're still going out?
Well, there's some factors that come into play. That was just a quarter inch. I guess it all depends on the weather. If it's going to warm up, no. That typically just, say, dissolves or melts. An inch, we'll make a decision, possibly. Inch and a half, we're probably going out. We're looking ahead at the forecast. If it looks like more snow in the distant future or it's going to warm up and be in the 30s, we don't bother with it.
More sure our residents have to.
I think Mike, I don't think he's the first one out the door. I think, you know, Mike and Jim are in constant communication. They're all looking and they're talking, communicating, and we do have some flexibility. I mean, we can ask them like that question.
I guess what I'm hearing is a whole lot of debate, and you'd like this deferred for another month to be able to study it more, but my concern is then we don't have time to get it out to residents before winter.
We could do that. I don't know what, if you feel that's necessary, if this discussion could lead over to the village board meeting Tuesday, but the sooner the better, because we'd like to purchase equipment for the end of this year and next year. We've got Dodie Safe up at the school project. We're going to get out. We're either going to hold a public information meeting or send out a flyer, a mailer to inform people of the project and responsibilities.
Could we recommend to the village board for their next meeting the recommendation that Sean just reviewed?
John, are you comfortable with
that? I'd make a motion to do that.
Could you please recap that briefly? I had to stand up for a moment when you were speaking.
I just asked if we could make a recommendation to the village board for the next meeting to recommend what Sean has just reviewed for us.
And that would be 0 to 3 inches. Village-owned properties, roundabouts, and problem area sidewalk.
And that would include the Hawk and Webster, correct?
And Alley Avenue, yes.
Okay.
But wouldn't that be just any snow accumulation? Because you're stopping at 3 inches.
Zero to three, right.
So it'd be any snowfall, these are what we're going to be doing. Because you're saying 0 to 3 inches for the problem areas, well, problem areas, it's beyond 3 inches too, so.
Yeah, well, 0 to 3, primary sidewalk, village-owned properties, roundabouts, 3 inches or greater, everything.
I mean, I think you should probably define everything.
Yeah.
Better, because in the document it said everything, and it doesn't mean everything. It just means all the areas that we're talking about.
It would be village-owned properties. It would be roundabouts. It would be primary sidewalk, and it would be about other contiguous sidewalk.
I think the sentence that's missing is when you said 0 to 3, you would get those sidewalks that are not part of those identified as special. 3 inches or less belongs to the resident.
Yes, exactly. Yes, thank you.
You include that in the statement, and then it covers all scenario. And then over 3 inches, the other comes in. Hey, can I throw something in? It may not be germane to the exact discussion right now. And that is, the public works in the village of Alloway and just the whole village has just been there. We really have a good village to live in. So we're building on something that's a negative problem, but overall, it is just tremendous. I can't compliment the public works people, especially when they start calling me out by name when I'm at leaf removal, how close we are as a village. It's really cool. So accolades to the folks in the village.
Thanks, David.
You know, we appreciate.
Yes.
If the village board would have liked if they would like to increase that threshold from 3 to 6, I'm okay with that too.
Okay. You can include that in the recommendation. If you don't mind putting it together.
Yeah.
All right, do we have a second?
Fred, do you have the motion there?
No.
No?
I've got 0 to 3 inches village-owned property, roundabouts, problem areas. The residents are required to remove any other snow. 3+ inches, everything, which includes all continuous sidewalks.
I'll second.
And that it could change to 6 inches.
I'll second.
All right, any discussion regarding this item at this point?
Just one little thing. If it's 0 to 3, is there any reason to say 1 to 3 or something else like that? Because you're not doing it under certain amounts, or do we want to just leave that to your discretion? You guys can handle that just fine.
I would leave that at our discretion because it could be an ice storm, and it could be a half inch of ice, and we'd want to get out right away. The room or the boat.
This is Tom Martin. Hey, thank you for listening to me.
Go back into regular rules? Resume the rules?
Absolutely. So, Tom and Dave, any other comments regarding these two things?
This is Tom. I'm good.
Dave?
Thanks for inviting us. I'm good, too. It's been good. Sorry to take the whole hour.
It should be.
All right.
Thank you. Take care. I'm out of here.
Then I'll make a motion to pick up the rules.
Do we have a second?
Yeah.
Thanks, Jim. Okay, yep. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, we're picking up the rules again. So, item number 7. We've got a motion on the table.
Oops.
Do we have a second?
I believe yes, we're current.
Thank you, because that's gone all kinds of ways. Any further discussion?
The one thing I will say is I will bring anticipated cost for the recommendations that were made.
Great.
Well, and actually, could you bring anticipated cost for all options?
Those two, yep.
Okay,
yeah.
Perfect.
Yep.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, next agenda item.
All right. Brad, when you get a chance, I know you're busy writing down some notes, if you could scroll up to action item number 4. You can zoom out.
You want to...
If you could scroll all the way up to the top, right there, perfect, right there, Cult Street. So that we have hired a consulting engineer to help with the design of next year's reconstruction projects. They are going to be out in the near future picking up the topographic survey. So that we're ready to go when the survey has been completed. I want to make sure that we've discussed the proposed roadway widths for the development of the plans. I want to start with Culp Street. These are typical sections. On the top is an existing section of existing roadway width. Currently, the existing roadway width is 31 feet from back of curb to back of curb. Two 13.5-foot lanes in each direction with 24-inch curb and gutter on each side. I should also mention that the reconstruction of Culp Street will extend Libel Street east to the river, and the right-of-way width is 60 feet. This is a fairly common section for local roadways. This is fairly standard. What we're proposing to match existing width. We're not proposing to narrow the roadway. We're not proposing to widen it at all. We're going to come in and reconstruct it to its existing condition. We're going to come in and remove and replace the pavement. We're going to take care of the underground utility work. We're going to come back and put down 4 inches of asphalt over 12 inches of aggregate with curb and gutter on the outside. Any grass areas beyond curb and gutter will restore with topsoil, sea, fertilizer, and mulch. So that's Culp Street. I do want to mention that this section, this proposed section, the proposed section is less than what is required by the village code. Village code requires a minimum width of 33 feet. This is 31. Now, we can reconstruct the roadway back to the existing condition, something less than the minimum, via resolution. And with the village board approval, we can match existing roadway width and construct the roadway with less than required by the code. We did that in 19. I scrolled down or up, Brad. Talked about the next street, Beaumont Street. We're going to be reconstructing Beaumont from Green North to Mission. This roadway is 31 feet from back of curb to back of curb as well. We're proposing to reconstruct this roadway back to the existing roadway width. And this would also require an exception, a resolution, because the overall width is less than our standard by code. On this street, I do want to point out that the bike and pedestrian comprehensive plan did indicate sidewalk. Brad just pointed to it. I don't know if it I don't know that it's specifically said on both sides or just on one, but for budgetary reasons, we are showing it on just one side. And I'm looking to get feedback from the committee and the village board. I'm assuming at a minimum we want to design for it with the ability to construct it in the future if money isn't available next year. It makes sense to build it on the west side of the roadway because it would be adjacent to St. Matthew's Church and School. I want to point out, though, the right-of-way for Beaumont is slightly less than Culp. It's 50 feet. It's pretty narrow. Adding walk to one side will be a challenge. We can design for it. We can build it next year. I want to point out that without making any changes to where the reference line of the road is currently, the center line of the roadway right now is for the most part in the center of the right of way. Without shifting the roadway one direction, north or south, if we were to put walk on the west side, you would end up with a 4-foot boulevard. And we know from experience that isn't wide enough in Green Bay for snow storage, planting of trees. I would, based on input from the committee, if we want to build walk or design for walk in the future, I would recommend that we shift the alignment south 2 feet to add to that terrace to make it 6 feet from
back a curb to inside edge a walk for the proper storage of snow. Let's go through the last one, the last two typical sections, and then we can answer any questions. Roselawn. Roselawn is going to be reconstructed or being proposed to be reconstructed from Riverside Drive east, 1,500 feet. Roselawn is a somewhat a unique roadway because there is a center island, a median, in some locations. This typical section depicts where we don't have that center island. The existing right-of-way width is 70 feet. The back of curb to back of curb width is 37. A little bit wider than what we typically see in Alloway. And because of that, because of the right-of-way width, we've got a fairly large terrace area or boulevard area outside of the back of curb, and as shown as 16.5 feet. If we focus on the proposed typical section, I am proposing a change outside of where the islands are located. I'm proposing to narrow the roadway to the village standard, 33 feet back of curb to back of curb, would allow for two 14.5-foot lanes in each direction, and it would accommodate parking on one side and would still maintain two lanes of traffic. Roselawn is a short distance from the Fox Point boat launch, and in the spring, I don't know so much in the fall, but in the spring we do see some overflow parking on Roselawn. Brett, I do also want to mention that the comprehensive bike plan had suggested sidewalk along Roselawn, and we are currently showing it on this typical section. Because of the wide right-of-way, we can build a proper terrace area in the back of the curb and sidewalk, and not have to move or shift the roadway at all, and still have room behind the back of the sidewalk for grading purposes. If you want to scroll down or up to the next section, so this is Roselawn at a median. They're at a center island. Right-of-way width is 100 feet. The center island width from back of curb to back of curb is 40 feet. Outside of that, you have two 17-foot lanes in each direction with an overall length of in each direction of 21 feet, the 17 plus the 24-inch curb gutter on each side. It doesn't leave you a whole lot of room or space outside of the back of curb. You've got 9 feet. And on the proposed typical section, I'm not suggesting that we change the width of the paved area, roadways, in each direction. I have received some comments from residents, just in general, on streets with center islands, that the 21 feet or the 17 foot, I guess it's 20 feet from basic curb to basic curb is a challenge when people bring in moving trucks, that it's hard to turn in. So I wouldn't narrow that at all. I would maintain that existing width. But the construction of sidewalk within this section is a challenge. Because of the lack of space on the outside. If we don't make any changes to the island width or we don't shift the roadway, construction of the sidewalk on one side within that existing space, there isn't existing boulevard space, that boulevard would be narrow, 3.5 feet. To remedy that, I would suggest, and I wouldn't build anything less than six, I would take some room out of the center island. I would take a couple feet along, I guess if you want to call it the north side. We have briefly looked at it. It wouldn't impact any of the trees, and then you could create some more space, 6-foot boulevard, sidewalk, and then within a half foot of the back of the walk, you would have the property line. So those are the proposed roadway widths. Anything less than 33-foot face-to-curb to face I'm sorry, back of curb to back of curb would require a resolution. The cost to construct sidewalk along Beaumont on one side would be $150,000. That's just an estimate, but it's a conservative one. Used unit prices that we've gotten on the 19 project at a 50% contingency. It's 2,100 feet. It would be 2,100 feet of walk. In some cases, three or four driveways between Green and Summit because of the slope. Topography slopes up. We would probably end up replacing a lot of those driveways in their entirety to add the apron, the sidewalk segment of the driveway, and then a smooth transition back to the existing driveway. So I factored that into the cost. For Roselawn, again, we're only going to do half Roselawn, and we're proposing it on the north side. That cost would be a little bit less because there's fewer challenges with the topography. Would fit better within the existing driveways. You're looking at, plus it's a shorter distance, you're looking at about $95,000. And I just want to make sure that I've said that correctly. Altogether, you're looking at an expense of roughly $250,000 to construct sidewalk next year. I know that the bonding is tight, and what I would recommend at a minimum is that we design for it for the construction to happen at a later date. We build the driveways so that they would accommodate the sidewalk in the future. There would be an additional expense to design for it when we went out and solicited a consultant. I didn't include that in the scope. I have asked the consultant what it would cost to design for it on and Roselawn, and he had indicated an additional 5 to 7. The overall cost for the design of the project is less than what we had estimated. It would still be under what we'd estimated. It would bring the total dollar amount would go raise the cost from $89,000 plus or minus to $95,000 or $96,000 to design this project. And that additional expense is because of what I just discussed. Beaumont, we're likely going to have to shift the center line south a couple feet. When they look at the profile, they're going to have to set it such so that the laterally the water drains inward and into the curb gutter. We don't need yard drain behind back of the curb, and they're going to design the driveways accordingly. On Roselawn, the same thing. They're going to narrow the median possibly to create space on the north side. They're going to have to look at the profile, making sure that it's set such that with the 4% on the terrace and 2% on the sidewalk, that everything drains laterally inward. So, any questions?
Would you be okay with adding an option to the bid for the sidewalk?
Sure, an alternate. I like it.
Yep. Might as well see what it costs, and you know if they already have everything tore up, maybe.
Definitely can do that. You know, building the walk next year obviously would be cheaper than in the future. The contractor's there, they're mobile, they have the equipment. But that's a lot of money.
Here's what we talked earlier, and we're coming up against bond funding, so we need Julie's involvement.
Yes.
But I like options, Kurt.
I like that, too.
Information is good.
Brad, I know you would just rerun the numbers. It's tight, correct?
Yeah, we're looking at, again, at $5 million next year.
Yeah.
And then 2023, $5.25 million. 2025, $5.5
million. Okay, you're being all kinds of optimistic with what's happening this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other thing, too, you know, in both cases, Beaumont and Roselawn, the streets don't have a lot of traffic on them. They're low volume, low speed. In the case of Beaumont, it's a narrow roadway, so someone calls the traffic. It's a neighborhood. Roselawn, same thing. You don't see a lot of traffic. I would think that I like that idea as adding an alternate to the contract. We designed for it and prepared to build it in the future.
And that'll be part of the public information meeting with these people, these residents?
Yes. If that's the direction provided, you know, at a minimum, design for it to be constructed in the future, yes, I would inform them of that when we have the public information. Winner of action chair.
Well, I'll make a motion that we recommend that the village board execute resolution 2020-24 in the packet.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
I'm trying to get Trustee Genrich back on. He lost connection.
Oh,
you
know,
I'm trying to. Don't have a quorum anymore?
Well, I'm trying to do a couple things here at one time. So, yes, we have a quorum.
Okay.
I just am not writing anything down, so hopefully someone catches that. That was Kurt and
chat feature.
Lynn, I would also like a recommendation to the village board to move ahead with these sections. These proposed typical sections showing the proposed roadway widths and.
Would we need an amendment to what we have to make that happen?
I would think so, yes.
Especially for the right-of-way issue? Or no?
If.
And we already voted on that. I can't.
The right-of-way we already voted on? That was the net?
Yes, but we can do friendly amendments.
Yeah, so what I intended was the village. We recommend to the village board that they execute resolution 2020-24 with the road widths and drawings attached.
Could possibly amending the right way? Sorry.
We wouldn't need to change the right of way width.
We just need to change whether the sidewalk with it or not, correct?
They'd have to shift it, correct?
Right. If you accept these proposed typical sections as shown, then you would be approving the walk shown on. Roselawn Boulevard.
So subsequently would include reworking of the right wing? On the what, right? Roselawn? Yeah.
The location of the center lane, right. We would.
Okay. All right. I still approve. Sorry to bring it up.
So, Lynn, if I could just summarize this. Recommendation to the village board to to accept the typical sections as shown, the proposed typical sections for boatway widths as shown, and a recommendation to move ahead with the design exception or the resolution allowing for the less than minimum roadway widths for Beaumont and Roselawn.
And also the design work for the sidewalks? Does that need to be included?
It would increase the contract amount by $5,000 to $7,000. I don't know.
Sure.
Yes.
So moved.
Hey, we have a second.
So what happened to the first motion? Or is this cleaning it up?
Well, it passed, and now we're amending the first motion.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Sorry.
Ed screwed it up with too many questions, so I will second the second motion.
Thank you.
What do you have, Brad?
I have nothing.
Okay.
I was trying to get Jim Genrich on, so I'm trying to do that on here to get him back on, and then I got lost on but you should have something written down that you read off of.
I do, yes.
Okay.
Let me write it out, and I can go over it one more time.
No, we've got who made the motion and who seconded. That's critical. So okay, we'll get it figured out.
Do you want me to summarize it one more time? Or
no.
Okay, you have it, Sean?
I do have it, yes.
Okay, Kurt and Ted, are you both comfortable with that?
Yes.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No? Okay, and hopefully we'll get Jim back for our next one. Have you joined us again? Didn't answer my text.
Yeah, I sent him all the information and I didn't hear back from him either.
Okay. All right, next item, Sean.
Last week, August 4th, the village had opened bids for the St. Mary's Sanitary Lateral Replacement Project. We had four contractors bid on the project, with the low bid being provided by Scott Lamer's Construction in the amount of $83,394. We had estimated the work to be approximately $75,000. This came in a little bit higher than what we thought, but we believe this to be a fair number. We're going to, with this bid, we're going to be improving the St. Mary's sanitary sewer in two phases, two stages, one of which has already started, and that is the lining of the main line, St. Mary's, the sanitary sewer main line. We had bid that a number of weeks ago, and that work came in actually under what we had estimated. Altogether, we had estimated $150,000 to make these improvements. We had received a bid of $53,000 and change for the lining, and this came in at $83,000 for a total dollar amount of roughly $130,000. We had estimated $150,000. So overall, we're in pretty good shape. The lining project has started, and actually will be completed by the end of today. The next step is for the improvement to the sanitary sewers to come in and pipe burst the laterals from the main to the property line, and this contract covers that work. I recommend to the village board accepting the low bid of $83,394,000 from Scott Lamer's Construction.
Oops, Any questions?
We've worked with Lambert quite a bit before.
Yeah, we have. Scott Lambert had done the sanitary sewer lateral work under the 19 project. Under last year's reconstruction project, they were responsible for the removal and replacement of what we call private side from the property line to the home.
We were obviously pleased with
it. We were. Yep.
And I make the motion to approve.
Do you know why? I mean, do you have an opinion why you think it was higher than estimated?
I haven't talked to Scott about that. It's hard to say. I guess it's somewhat dependent upon how much work that they currently have. When we put together an estimate, it's the best guess. We don't do a lot of this. It still came in within what we find to be acceptable for this work.
To show the seller's market right now, is that what we're thinking?
Supply and demand. They may have. They had definitely had. If you look at the other bids, they have availability. They have a tenor in the growth. They're busy. You can tell with the bid that they provided. They were, at their cost. If they got the project, this was. They were at that cost. They were willing to take on the work on top of what they already have. Scott must. He has availability in the next 4 to 6 weeks, and it shows here.
I'll second Ted's motion.
All right. Sorry, there was a car going past. All right, any discussion?
No, I just was able to pick the meeting up on my phone. So,
Jim.
Yeah, so in Cora, went up.
We are. All right, are you comfortable with the motion? Did you hear enough?
Yes, I did. I go with that.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed? No? All right, motion carries. Next agenda item.
2019 Compliance Maintenance Annual Report. This is a DNR mandated report that we put together every year. Summarizes the operational maintenance activities done during the previous year. With the report, the DNR requires a resolution from the board indicating that they have reviewed and approved the report. This is a draft copy. I'm not going to go through every single item of the report, but I do want to touch on a few of the major points. This summarizes the maintenance and operational tasks that we take on for our sanitary sewer collection system. It consists of, roughly speaking, 60 miles of sanitary sewer, 1,300 manholes, two lift stations. We could go to, there are no page numbers, but if you could go up, Brad.
I didn't see the manual, or all I have is the resolution. It's the only thing that's in here.
That's right, I'm sorry.
Oh, they all got sent separately.
Okay, well, if you have that handy, I'll just quickly go through goals for last year. Under last year's reconstruction project, we replaced, roughly speaking, 5,000 linear feet of sanitary sewer. Last year we televised, roughly speaking, 4,800 feet of sewer pipe. We do in the summer, April through November, we do clean our sanitary sewer, and we try to do at least a third of it every year. It's a rotation. So every 3 years we make one full pass through the village. We have considered a purchase of a new TV camera, televising camera. We are discussing the possibility of a joint purchase with another community. The Pier has their own. We do have a camera, but it's fairly basic. We do spend on average $15,000 to $20,000 to televise our underground infrastructure, sanitary sewer, storm sewer. One of the goals that we're proactively looking for pipe where we've seen a lot of clear water infiltration and inflow. It has, because of the record amount of precipitation that we have gotten in 18 and 19, we have seen in this year, we're seeing a large increase in cost from new water to treat our wastewater. So we're practically looking for a storm sewer that is leaking. And we're taking the right steps. This year, we talked about St. Mary Street. We're lining that sewer. That will be completed by the end of today. And within the next coming weeks, we're going to be removing visible mounds. That definitely will help. Every other year, we reconstruct roadways. And in 19, we removed and replaced 5,000 feet of sanitary sewer, old, deteriorated, in most cases, concrete, clay, pipe. The annual report also includes future planning projects, and in some degree, we've already covered these when we went through the capital improvement planning at the last Public Works Committee, but I'll quickly run through what I provided in this report. This year, I had mentioned that we're going to be aligning and replacing, lining sanitary sewer and replacing laterals on St. Mary's. Next year, we're going to be improving sanitary sewer on Beaumont, Culver, and Roselawn. Again, in 23, we'll have another reconstruction project, which consists of Green, Barron, and Roselawn Boulevard. Another reconstruction project in 2025. In 2021, next year, we're also under the street resurfacing project. We would like to finish the east half of St. Mary's. The pavement work would be funded by our operating budget. Would be under a paving funds. Every year we've had $500,000 available to resurface streets. In the bonding, I had added $150,000 to complete the improvements to St. Mary's Street, sanitary sewer, and laterals. I had included a manhole that we need to remove and replace on Riverside Drive at Marine Street. The report also requires that we point out or indicate any sanitary sewer overflows that we had during that year. In 19, we had one. March 14th and 15th, you'll know we had the weather warmed up quickly, led to a lot of snow melt. On top of that, we had gotten rainfall, and because of that, we've seen some record amount of flooding along the East River. And because of that, we had an overflow at one of the lift stations that has been identified in the report. In a summary, that's some of the major points in the 2019
compliance maintenance annual report. Any questions? I do need a recommendation for this. A recommendation to the village board to approve resolution 2020-23, indicating that the report has been been reviewed and approved by the village board.
I would make that recommendation to the village board to accept that report as written.
All right, any discussion? All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, next agenda item, and we skip the 8.
Oh, come on, let's talk about 7 again.
Yeah.
Yeah,
let's go through that one more time.
Brad, if you could, when you get a chance, go down to Garland Street, parking restriction. There you go. If you could zoom out. Just a minute, I need to shut my door. The last Public Works Committee meeting, we talked about a parking restriction on Claude Alloway Terrace. This is a similar situation that we have on Garland and Webster Avenue. This was brought to our attention by a resident of Alloway, concerned about a safety issue. From time to time, people park on both sides of Garland, the north and south side. Near the intersection, when somebody's traveling northbound on Webster Avenue in the outside lane and they want to turn east on Garland, due to the grade and the wall, they may not see a parked vehicle. And as they're making that movement, from time to time there'll be somebody that will be traveling westbound on Garland. Because of the roadway width, if you have a car parked on the south side and on the north side, there's not enough room to accommodate two parked vehicles and two lanes of traffic. The existing roadway width is 30 feet, basic curb. That would allow for a vehicle parked on one side and two lanes of traffic, one in each direction. To improve the safety at this intersection, we're recommending to restrict parking on the south side 100 feet from Webster Avenue east, 100 feet. It would end just short of the alleyway. And if you could go back up to the exhibit, it would end short or near the property line extended of the residential home on the north side. There, I guess there was the property line. I think you hit right there. So it would allow them to park on both sides of the street at their home.
Okay, so I have one question. How much Los Magueyes traffic are we going to push down Garland? Or do they pretty much stick to their parking lot only? Because I'm cognizant of the commercial traffic pushed into a residential area.
If you could zoom out just a little bit, Brad.
Anecdotally, while we're zooming out, is it Magueyes or Magueyes? I was pronouncing Magueyes. Is that wrong? Totally wrong.
Magueyes.
Magueyes.
That's what I don't know. That's what I always say.
Wow. That was way off.
On the exhibit within the circles, I have two numbers. I have 13 and 2. That represents 13 represents the on-site parking that they have. Then there are two additional parking stalls on the side of their building.
So it's for a total of 15. I'm sure that when they're busy that people do park on Garland. I don't know how much, but this would prohibit them from parking along the south side from Webster Avenue 100 feet east and avoid a potential safety issue.
Well, with only 15 parking spaces for staff and patrons, I think they may, I don't know if they have any ground to stand up, but I think they'll be concerned about the change. Is 50 feet even an option, or does that not really help us at all?
Oh. Could you reduce that 100 feet?
We reduced it to 50 feet. Does that still alleviate the issue, or
that would help? That would be an improvement over the existing condition. That would still help, yes.
By reducing that to 50, we could get another, what, 3 cars in 50 feet, probably?
Typically speaking of the street, parking stall length is 25 feet, so every 25 feet in one spot, one parking space. So right now, from the end of the shaded red area to the alleyway is 50 feet. That would allow for 2 under the current scenario, I guess. If you were to pull that parking restriction west and keep it to 50, you'd add another 2, so that overall you'd have 4. So we could try that. I mean, right now there is no parking restriction. We could suggest that, amend the village code and continue to monitor the situation, traffic issue.
That sounds like a compromise.
And also, like, if you look at the photo down Garland Street looking west with the gray van parked there, that would basically be the first option to park pointed east. So that would be, like, we made it 100 feet, that, and you had extra cars parking all over, like, where the gray van is. There would most likely, the first spot available on the other side would be directly across from that van.
Yeah.
So that would be a bottleneck. But probably looking into it too deeply. But I agree. It sounds like a good compromise to begin with and see what happens.
I like that compromise versus moving people further down into the residential area, because it seems like the prevailing thought is to decrease parking spaces, and that's okay, but it's not okay if we keep pushing commercial traffic into residential areas.
I'm fine with that. A reduction from 100 to 50, so we need a motion from this committee to the village board to move ahead with a parking restriction on the south side of Garland, Webster Avenue, 50 feet east.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
So I think I heard Jim second.
Yep.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, next agenda item, discussion.
Yeah, real quickly, I just want to provide an update on the street construction projects. Our street resurfacing projects, Garland, Stanton, Port, Harbor Lane, St. Mary's. With the exception of St. Mary's, that work has been completed. After the sewer improvements have been made to St. Mary's, Dorothy has all come back. Restore a curb and gutter that's been removed in driveway aprons and put down the final layer of asphalt. The board completed in the middle of October. The alleyway improvement projects that we had discussed and identified that work has been completed. I mean, Claude and Alleyway Terrace, the alleyways south of there, and the alleyway directly behind Associated Bank. The Old River Condominium Trail Project, the paving has been completed, gravel shoulders have been installed, Northeast Asphalt needs to come back, and with restoration, that work will be
completed soon. We do have a developer's agreement with the Old River Condominium Association. With that work being completed by middle September, so that we can invoice for their share of the work. About the pond project, that project has started. This project is located on the south side of Culp Street, just east of the church. The trees have been removed, and I've been told that the excavating contractor is going to start Monday of next week. They anticipate the excavation of a pond to take 4 weeks. So you're looking middle of September, the pond will be excavated at that time. The general contractor will come in and install 48-inch storm sewer outside of 12th Street on Harold Street. Water tower repair project. That project has been completed. The tower is back online. The work was completed there. There was the overflow weir box was damaged by ice in 2015. That was removed and replaced. There was a spot repair made with the paint. Overall, the paint inside has held up really well. There was a painter ring around the inside of the tank at the top, too, that was damaged, shoved up by ice. That was completely removed. Wasn't safe anymore. And they drilled holes into the top of the tank and put in couplings. They used those to hang their lift equipment, and those will be used again in the future to paint the inside of the tank, which we anticipate to be 10, 15 years from now. Outside of the tank, they power washed the entire outside of the tank. If you've been by, if you can stop, it does shine now. On top of that, they did make some spot repairs to the paint. And on the outside, the overflow pipe that runs down along the outside, that was improved to meet new DNR requirements. That's it. Any questions on this is just for discussion. This is just a report. Any questions on this year's projects?
No.
Appreciate the update.
Yeah, thank you, Sean. A lot of stuff going on.
We're definitely busy right now.
Who's in charge of shoveling the snow off the top of the water tower?
I think Tom would like to do that.
Strike that for the minutes, please.
You have to have a sense of humor at this point.
They drill holes in the top of the water tower. How do they keep, drilled chips from falling into them? Or they just clean it up afterwards?
They had, when we draw down, we had drawn down the tank. We left a couple inches on the bottom for that very reason. And when that work was done, the structural improvements that are made inside, the rest of the water was drained. Because yeah, you're right. Those pieces that fall down are hot, and I don't know if they could damage the reason why a couple inches was left to just provide that buffer. When that work was done, the tank was fully drained and it was clean. And they used chlorine to disinfect the inside.
Another question. There was a pressurized vessel, for no lack of a better term, out by the front of it. So that's when the tank was empty. Were we completely on Manitowoc water at that point, or were we pulling off our wells?
No, we never operated our wells during the time. No. Those tanks were to help maintain system pressure. It's a standpoint. Roughly speaking, 80 feet in height. Water doesn't fluctuate a whole lot in that tank, but what it does for us is it maintains system pressure.
And seemed to do it well.
But kudos goes to Mike Mollick and his group. They had done some things differently
in 2005 we had drilled another tank as well, they had used temporary pressurized tanks a little bit more in 2005 than they did this year. Mike and his crew did a great job of they made some adjustments at our connections condition where the Manitowoc water comes in. They adjusted a valve and they were able to maintain a system pressure. We didn't see very many dips. They did a really good job.
Awesome. All right, any questions on the project update? All right, do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right, we stand adjourned.
Thanks, all.
Excellent. Thank you all.
Oh my gosh, thank you.